The new space race is for high-speed internet from low Earth orbit. But do the economics work? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. The White House's $2 trillion infrastructure plan proposes $100 billion for broadband infrastructure. Right now, however, it's hard to get broadband to big parts of this country unless that infrastructure is in space. Low Earth orbit satellite constellations could bring high-speed internet access to some of these areas. Elon Musk's Starlink is the best known, but there are a few other companies in the mix. Starlink is in beta with about 10,000 users. Sasha Segan is a lead analyst at PC Mag who's been following Starlink, and I asked him who could benefit from this new version of satellite internet.
It's a huge deal, and this is going to be transformative for people in rural areas. But satellite internet, even this new form of satellite internet, has relatively little capacity per square mile. It's good at covering large areas with internet.
So transformative for rural areas, but not necessarily something that we could see transform the competitive landscape in the U.S.
It's not going to fix the regional monopoly problem. Now, what you may see happening with the regional monopoly problem is that Starlink is going to help people in suburban and exurban areas where there's a lot of people who say AT&T has laid a line 500 feet from my property and they refuse to extend it. Or Spectrum has a line 1,000 feet from my property and they want $80,000 to extend it. And those people are going to potentially start getting Starlink. And at that point, are AT&T and Spectrum going to want to expand their coverage somewhat? You know, there's some hope for that.
So let's talk about pricing. Right now, it's pretty high, right? Relatively, installation costs $500 and then it's $100 a month. How does that compare to options that might currently be available?
Yeah, it's not only high, they're losing money on it. I've seen estimates that those $500 hardware packages may be costing Starlink $2,000 each.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's plus $99 a month for service. So once again, it's not really competitive with your $60 a month Verizon or AT&T or Spectrum cable service, but it blows the pricing and quality for HughesNet and Viasat out of the water.
Speaking of those other satellite companies that currently offer service, what is the competition for Starlink? Is this sort of a race between satellites and 5G infrastructure to sort of blanket the middle of the country?
I think that's a good way to frame it. There is definitely going to be some tension between T-Mobile, especially expanding into broad coverage 5G internet, and Starlink and these other satellite players. And then there's, of course, there are small local rural ISPs that I think are doing a great job that I'd love to see more of. I did a big story on cities to work from home, and a lot of those cities have their own co-op or nonprofit ISPs. And I think those are a great opportunity for smaller towns.
Yeah, I wonder, actually, I mean, a bunch of money is about to go into broadband infrastructure. I wonder how that will change the calculation. It was one thing when it was, you know, green fields, so to speak, for either Starlink or 5G. But now it does sound like there could be a lot more local competition.
Yeah. The new head of the FCC, Jessica Rosenworcel, tweeted something like, broadband for everyone, I'm all in.
Right.
And she is the head of the FCC.
She can't lay the fiber, though.
No, but the question, well, I mean, so my point here is that why wait for AT&T? Why not give your subsidy to Empire Access in New York and Vermont Telecom in Vermont and Paul Bunyan Telecom in Bemidji, Minnesota? These smaller, more locally based companies that are doing a really good job of serving their communities that maybe just need to serve some more communities.
Is Paul Bunyan actually a real ISP?
It is a real ISP.
Amazing.
Bemidji, Minnesota is the home of the legendary Paul Bunyan.
Okay. I just had to check that before I could move on. Is this a, you know, sustainable business model, do we think, for Starlink?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? These satellite internet things have never been great business, but Starlink business-wise, you have to understand it as part of the complex of the Elon Musk companies. Mm-hmm. And so Starlink being linked to SpaceX, being linked to anything else he's doing, how can he leverage these things off against each other? You know, are Starlink's effective launch prices way down because SpaceX can put other things on its rockets? There's economies available in there that aren't available to other satellite companies.
Got it. Although I believe another term for what you just described could be house of cards. I'm just throwing that out there.
I mean, there's a graveyard of companies that thought satellite was a terrific business and then found that the costs were much higher than they expected.
How is the service?
So from what we've seen talking to users and from looking at users on Reddit, people are generally pretty satisfied with the Starlink service. Now, right now in the beta test, it cuts out from time to time because there aren't quite enough satellites up yet. But in terms of it working during inclement weather and in terms of it delivering, you know, 50 to 100 megabits consistently to people who live out in the woods, it seems like it's delivering well.
Sasha Segan is a lead analyst at PC Mag. Starlink also has competition from Amazon. In 2019, the company said it would launch its own satellite constellation known as Project Kuiper. And now for some related links. Just for fun, we've got a link to Sasha Segan's piece on the best work-from-home cities in case you're contemplating a move. Also, reviews are coming in on Starlink's service, and they are about, as Segan mentioned, impressively fast, if not consistent. But I also threw in a link to a Financial Times piece from last week about potential problems for Starlink, including the fact that Musk wants to relocate 2,800 satellites to a lower orbit than they're currently at, so that instead of floating in space forever, when they reach the end of their satellite lives, they'll be pulled into the atmosphere and burn up. But the move would put the satellites close to the range where Jeff Bezos wants to put his constellation, and some other satellite companies argue that Starlink satellites could end up interfering with their satellites and messing up their service. And side note, it's kind of amazing that we're at the point where space is already too crowded. I'm not really sure how to feel about all this. Speaking of feelings, there was a good piece in Axios Friday about how cable companies are already making a lot of noise, not surprisingly, about that $100 billion in Biden's infrastructure bill for broadband, mainly the part where it would prioritize nonprofit or government-run networks. And the cable companies are afraid the plan would pay to lay new fiber in areas where they already operate, or maybe areas where the current fiber stops a block from your house. The CEO of the big cable trade group NCTA actually called the plan, quote, surprisingly Soviet. Watch this fight. It ought to be a good one. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.